The Front Row Back Row podcast is a show where two grad school buddies discuss physical therapy entrepreneurship. I help guide a company to an eight-figure exit, and I'm now starting my own mobile company. Brian grew his mobile practice to four clinics, and he's now doing $1 million in revenue. Join us as we help you grow your own business. Hello and welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast. My name is Dr. Owen Campbell, and with me as always is Dr. Brian Wolf. And today we are actually going to share a case study from our mentorship group. One of our members has been doing great. She's hired people. We're working through the process of onboarding, and that's, you know, one of her big goals is to make a very profitable clinic and kind of step away a little bit. So in our previous episodes, we talk about work-life balance. And for her, she loves working with people, loves treating people, but, you know, she's got a pretty solid business going now. And she's looking at ways that she can optimize her time. And one of those things that we talked about is going digital, right? So you've seen online personal trainers, some PTs are now, they're not even PTs anymore. They're just online personal trainers. And you've seen sometimes PTs will offer sort of a kind of like home program on steroids and, you know, kind of just charge a subscription model for that. I know one of the other members of our group, she's been doing that and been pretty successful with it, you know, in the starting phases of it. And it's a great way of getting quote unquote passive income. Now, it's not obviously passive. And Brian, you brought up a few good points on this.
How nothing's passive.
Yeah. But it can be scalable, right? It can be something that you put in a lot of work up front. And then really all you have to do is market it. You don't have to take time to drive to their home and work with them, or you don't have to keep a clinic open with lights on and take your time to do that. You can kind of push your time into marketing. So it can be a little bit more efficient on the time management side. So we're going to talk a little bit about this case study and how that may relate to you and your practice and the overall thinking about how do I niche down? Because that's a big thing. People are like, well, I'm not the world's greatest XYZ therapist, so I can't niche into that because that guy's already there, right? And yeah, this is something where I think looking at niching and how it can help you can be a nice kind of entry point for some of our listeners.
Let me also make sure that I bitch slap everything when I talk about it, so I can get that explicit filter on. Yeah. Let me make sure I put a gigantic asterisk over this. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you do this and you think about how to continue to make passive income or anything along those lines, it cannot be done in a one-on-one form. Mm-hmm. So when we think about what we're doing as physical therapists, treating patients one-on-one, it's very difficult. No, fuck it. It's impossible. It's impossible to do. There will be a ceiling, guys, like you, because you run out of time. It's just that way. There is no way. So ultimately, you got to start thinking about a one-to-many model, meaning I'm the one. How can I get to many more people while ultimately it doesn't mean we are in such a time for money profession, and we're just programmed to be such a time for money thing. That's really what this comes down to. So with whatever the niche is, realize the giant asterisk hanging over this entire podcast idea is going to be about how to get to one to many.
All right. So let's go. So this is what the conversation was. She said, okay, I want to do this. And she specializes in red cord Pilates. So if I never knew what that was, I'm pretty sure Brian had no idea. She taught us, and it's essentially it's more popular in Europe than it is in the States, but in major cities, it's big. And it is a form of Pilates that is more rehab based, and it uses a different type of setup than the common Pilates. So that's the red cord, right? So it is something just to set up for our listeners that you usually need to go to a location to receive, right? It's not an easy thing to set up in your home. And it's something that most of the time you're interacting with a healthcare professional doing, right? So just to set that up, and it has good rehab benefits. She's built a business on it. Awesome. So what she was looking at and saying, she's like, you know, I want to do some of this, you know, a little bit more passive, maybe more trading time for money, a little less trading time for money. And she said, I want to do an online offering for this. But she said, you know, I don't know, like, it's kind of hard. It's this, but maybe I could just do just basic Pilates, and I'm a healthcare professional doing it, right? And she's a chiropractor. And she was saying, I'll do that, and that'll be my niche, right? And the problem there is she didn't niche down far enough, right? So if you look at a few of those, you know, the parameters, right? Location based, right? And everybody who does it is also a healthcare person, right? So already anybody who likes this stuff. So if someone in Paducah, Kentucky is like, oh my God, I went to Paris and there was Red Court and I loved it. I wish I could do more. Anybody that person interacts with is already a healthcare professional. So she's not special in that way, right? And then also a lot of people do Pilates workouts, right? Online workouts through all these different trainer apps, things like that. So also not special. So the worry is she's really just going to be creating a fancy home program for her patients, which can be good, right? They will say, wow, I trust you. And what you say, it's a great upsell in a business. So I'm never saying don't do this, right? It could be a very efficient way of upselling somebody into a program where they have like a home program on a subscription basis because they trust you. But that's the thing. But if she wants to make it bigger, we're saying, okay, look, what about the person who you're Red Cord, okay? You are a healthcare practitioner, right? You're doing it online, but the biggest pain point for these people is they got to go to a place and they got to pay $200 just to have one session, right? Why don't you try it? You give people your home programs, right? Why don't you just do what you do for home programs and market it as Red Cord for the home, right? Or in-home Red Cord. And instead of paying $200 a session, you pay, what do we say, Brian? Something like $200 a month to get unlimited, right? So these are looking at that and niching all the way down to like, I'm the Red Cord person in the US that speaks English, that has a healthcare degree, and that also can show you how to do this without having to go to the gym and pay the money. You know, that is more of a home run than just saying, okay, I'm this niche. So that niche down, like two or three more levels down, was something that we think should really kind of attack.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing when it comes to that scenario and what Owen just painted, right, is like the other aspect is with the niche is it, what it does, it allows you to charge kind of whatever you want. And the reason I say that is because it's going to be very difficult to compare yourself. Like it's easy to compare chiropractors. It's easy to compare chiropractors. It's easy to compare Pilates instructors. It's very difficult to, you know, compare the chiropractor who's also Pilates certified, who also does Red Cord online, right? Like it becomes much more of a challenge. And particularly this, like to Owen's point, you can even throw in the English speaking because the European slide of it.
Yep.
So for me, like when I look at this whole scenario, like what Owen's talking about, for me, a big piece of this is like we talked about the one to many model and how to actually, like my piece of advice for her is like, listen, going into the online world and doing that means there's different CRMs, different things you have to use. So could you start this entire program with zero overhead? If the answer is yes, that means it's actually a pretty easy thing you can pull the trigger on. If the answer is no, then you got to figure out what those things are. And like we were talking about in some other podcasts, you got to think about the skills you're going to need to learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. For me to do an online fitness program, I can start it tomorrow. That's not a problem. I have the software for it, and I have overkill the software for it. I got 9,000 different CRMs and different things that I could track different, you know, metrics and whatnot, and deliver it properly. So the aspect of that is what you don't want to do is kind of like, again, kind of go back to our side hustle episode. You don't want to find yourself in a situation where like, oh, I got like four clients and I freaking hate this, yep. Right? It's hard. It's costing me money now in that scenario. So you got to think about how that process works. Again, going to the one-to-many, you know, all I was talking to her, I was like, you'd also do a Red Cord, you know, and actually, I don't think I got to give that advice actually because we ran out of time, but you could do Red Cord classes, six people, and they all charge each one of them $80. And if so, it's like, all right, if it's $200 or $50 and you got six people, generally, you want to actually charge what you would charge to break even on two people. Mm-hmm. So to that point, say you get two people in there and it's $100 a person. Well, that's $600. That's $200. Say you get to six people, that's $600 an hour. You see where now the one to many model starts to really work, and the way you can leverage that is with time. So anyway, there's a lot of different ways to do it, whether it's online or not online or all those things. So I think, you know, COVID kind of opened the world up to some of the online stuff, but in my mind, I think there are people that are also deploying it improperly along with other people who are deploying it properly. So you just want to think about both those scenarios.
Well, and that's it. And the online fitness game is not easy, right? Like you said, there's a technology side. There's a churn side.
It's easy. It's easy. Just everybody and their mother's in it right now.
Well, that's
literally there's moms doing it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah. So that's the thing is you're going against personal trainers and blah, blah, blah. And there's plenty of people who have, you know, crazy followings or are doing other things. Like the online sector of fitness, the barrier is so low. Yeah. Because the barrier is so low, so many people can hop into it. So when people are like, I'm not having success overnight. Why? No, I have 5,000 followers. It's because I could probably grab 20 different fitness influencers that have over a million. So yeah. It's like, that's the problem. You're competing with other people. So again, to know Owen's point about the niching, that's what that will help with, right? Oh, this influence lifter, this influencer's got 4 million followers, but he's a strong man. This, you know, this one's got 3 million, but she's kind of Pilates instructor. Like, that's who you're competing with. So like the online world is just more challenging on that front.
Well, and the niching thing is what gives people who don't have that following a fighting chance, right? Niching down on the 2, 3, 4 level, right? Because you got to think, I mean, if you're too niche, you're not going to get millions of followers. There's not that many people who care about your thing. Right.
For sure.
So you can get out of the way of that cannonball coming at you by moving 3, 4, 5 degrees away from the major niche, which in this case would be Pilates. Right. And that's where I think it's a lot of people are waiting for like the greatest idea in the world to smack them in the head. But sometimes just like it'll just come down to after 2 or 3 years, you realize, oh, yeah, there's like 5 or 6 patients who like loved me. They profess their love for what I do. But then like these other 20 don't. Well, what's the difference between those 5? And then you start saying, oh, okay, well, it's because I fit this one very small niche. And for them, at least, that they can't find other places. And then you start developing that niche. So don't feel like you need to have a niche right when you start your business. But one that it can help you kind of avoid having to fight with the Bryans of the world who already have everything in terms of the software and the money and the capital and all that stuff, that if they wanted to pivot into this, they could.
Oh, and I will. I'll beat you all up. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So when it comes, I'll tell you one niche that I always thought of, like personally, that's like sort of outside the box for me, is and I'm good at treating it along with like also liking it is osteoporosis. Like, because I think it has like a strength training perspective. It's an underserved population. So there's a great example of like Osteo Strong came out. Some of these other osteo types of things help people with osteoporosis. And I think that's another thing you do is like online programs that help people with osteoporosis or any of those different things. And I think you can really do a massive, you know, massive, you know, help people in terms of, you know, those specific niches, because it allows you to help many people. So pick things that are not very densely populated that you can really do some good work with.
Well, and that's another thing too, is what's your authority, right? Yep. Well, let's stop here. Anybody listening? Tell your friends if you like some of this tactical advice, which we do not sugarcoat because we're not trying to sell you much besides our little mentorship group.
I called a bunch of PDs morons in our last episode, right?
That's
my God.
We are not shiny and like refined in any way. But we have good businesses and we will teach you how to do it too. Exactly. So that's the other thing though to think about is what is your I don't want to say special sauce because it sounds kind of tacky, but like, you know, for what's your kind of social proof, right? Like you said, let's break that down, right? You said osteoporosis. Okay, cool. Why should I listen to you versus the Osteo Strong that literally opened a block for me, right? Well, I'm a PT. Cool. How many PTs out there treat osteoporosis? A lot of them, right? Probably there's 2 or 3 of them that already have something where they have 2,000 followers online, right? Well, the majority of osteoporosis is female. How many of them are male? Right.
Yeah.
So lean on that. Then how many of them are have 5 clinics to treat athletes? Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you sometimes people are like, well, how far can you go down into a niche? Like blonde hair, blue eyed guys are the only ones I treat. Like there's you get to a point where it's like kind of stupid to keep going. But the way that you can make win in a niche that's a little bit higher and broader than you is your social proof on other stuff. So for you, it would be that like, hey, of course I'm the best one to listen to because look, all these athletes trust me and look at what I've built, right?
Yeah.
For her, it would be, yeah, I have a thriving clinic that does red cord every single day. I've been doing it for years, you know? Yeah. So that's a way that you don't have to maybe jump too far out of the way of the cannonball if you have real life success, right? In the online world, right?
I agree.
So these are kind of interesting things when we talk about, you know, because this is the type of decision making that people are doing in their car on the way to their next patient or how do I do this? How'd that guy figure it out? You know, and sometimes it's
or really, I think the other part that I get concerned about sometimes is people saying like, oh, so-and-so is doing that, so it's a really good idea. I should do that too. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, yeah, but just because so-and-so is doing it doesn't mean you're going to like it or be good at it. I think Lady Gaga is the shit. Doesn't mean that I can keep up. You know what I mean? You know, I love baseball. It's one of my favorite things. I'm not Aaron Judge. Right. So it's mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of pieces that are also like important to be like, hey, what are some things that I fit into my roles and what I can do along with like what am I passionate about can actually make a huge impact on. So anyway, that's why a lot of that I think is important as well. So yeah, I mean,
that's the beauty of niching is if you find something, you marry up what you're passionate about and you can serve a passionate fan base, like by all means. I mean, that old model of like, what would you rather have, like 10,000 people who barely care about your stuff or 400 people who would like give you every single dollar they had if they could, right? Like for a lot of people's business, like for you, 400 may not be, I mean, it might still not be a bad thing, you know, in terms of volume, but like, for almost anybody listening to this podcast, if you got 400 people who are like begging to give you money, you're having a great day, you know? So, and that's what the internet opens up, but then also just in general, just niching in your local market opens up.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So yeah.
Niches get stitches, right? Niche up. So
the famous one is I'm going to niche slap you, right?
Exactly. Love it.
All right. Nice. So with that, my friend, we are out. Anybody listening to this who got value out of this, please check out physio-growth.com. We have been getting some great success stories in there. People are hiring people. They are onboarding correctly and not losing people. We are able to kind of take our knowledge of both management, entrepreneurship, and be able to help out people. So if you want $100 a month to have damn good advice, you should do this. You should give us a call. So with that, my friend, we are out.
Later, man. Good stuff. Yeah.